Paul Pelletier, I want to thank you for taking part in this summit, navigating workplace bullying, finding resilience, and feeling joy, even in crisis. And it is tough, but it is possible in my view. Paul is a corporate and tech attorney and a consultant to help organizations address workplace challenges, and there are so many. Paul's also the author of the Workplace Bullying Handbook, How to Identify, Prevent, and Stop a Workplace Bully. And Paul has dedicated his career to the issue of workplace incivility and bullying. Paul, we had a chance to meet a little over a week ago, I guess, and I'm so impressed with you, and I thank you so much for being here on a topic that I care greatly about, because you and I are both in this mostly, and I think from an introduction standpoint, because we are bully victims ourselves. So if you would, please give us a little bit more background on the work that you're doing, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you came to make this your career choice.
Well, great. Thank you, Andy, first for having me and for leading this incredibly important charge to really shed light on something that we all know is everywhere. And I will reinforce, it is everywhere. Bad behavior at work of all kinds is something that is global. It spans cultures, it spans industries, it spans humanity. And so it is something that everyone can relate to. And so in terms of the work that I do, I mean, no one starts their career thinking, boy, I can't wait to be a victim of a workplace bully so that I can feel awful and have my career stalled and have my sense of self, destroyed, and then pick up the pieces and do something else. But that's where we find ourselves. And I've found myself in that scenario. And so although I absolutely continue to pursue a career in legal work, in tech law, at the same time, I found it critical to stop and take a lessons learned approach from my experience in an organization that was riddled with bullying behavior and ask ourselves, why is this okay? Why is this supported? And what is it? What's the messaging that isn't being heard by our leaders that might change their perspective on bullying type behavior? And so I do a combination of things. I just retired from legal practice, so I can now say I'm a recovering attorney.
Congratulations.
And now I'm focused exclusively on my passion, which is really helping organizations of all types, shapes, colors, deal with their workplace culture challenges. And amongst many, workplace behavior and incivility is my focus. And it's really trying to inspire organizations to build inclusive, respectful, kind, and therefore innovative and high-performing workplace cultures.
Yeah. And I think you said it. It's in the interest of the organization to have a better culture. There's research that productivity goes up when you have a collaborative and cooperative workplace environment. So having said that, you were a corporate attorney. The conversations we've had, you don't strike me, you know, that almost cliche version of the bully on the workplace and the playground, where it's the timid kid, it's the weak kid who gets bullied. You don't come up that way to me. I certainly was never timid or shy or introverted. And I don't think that's a factor. And there's so much shame in it because it is often successful people that are contributors, hard workers, loyal. So tell me a little bit. I mean, you're a corporate attorney, highly successful in your field. So how did you come to be bullied?
Well, I think you just said it, because I was a successful corporate attorney who was well-liked, who was climbing up that proverbial corporate ladder, who was being promoted. Unlike schoolyard bullying and what our children face, where it is the people who are timid or weak or perceived in some way as different who usually get targeted, it's the polar opposite in our organizations. And that's the crazy piece that our leaders don't understand, because we, the perceived successful, well-adapted, beloved team leader type folks who care and are compassionate. We are targets because we are perceived by workplace bullies as someone that's getting in the way of their limelight, that could in fact take away their perception, as insane as this is and warped as it is, their perception of power, their perception of dominance, and their insatiable need, that is a narcissistically led need to get attention, to be the person that is always the recognized. And so we get in the way. And I was exactly that. And it was one of those lessons that you never want to ever learn twice. And I worry about anyone who's going through that in terms of what it can do to your mental health, your physical health, the organization's health. The organization I came from, this was 11 years ago, that unit still hasn't recovered. And
bullying manifest itself, and how is it targeted towards you? What did the person or the mobbing group do to you?
Well, it was my boss. And it's something that I have to be careful about talking about, because I ended up getting legal representation and getting a settlement from the organization. So I won't go into a ton of details, but imagine, I'll just probably use a perfect metaphor or a perfect example. So I'm going to show you this. Now, you're all thinking, okay, what the heck is this? It's a little minion, you know, the Disney Pixar created.
Cute.
Yeah, cute little things.
Yeah.
We've seen those movies. But when we see these movies, I want you to step back and ask yourself, well, how would this little guy feel given how they are treated in the movies? And so this was given to me as part of a Christmas stocking. Hung on my office door, sticking very prominently out with other things, but many of them were minion-based. Of course, my boss thought this was hilarious. You know, it was a joke, and I have no sense of humor. But this was a perfect example of how warped his perception of what leaderships were supposed to do and our leadership was supposed to look like, and also how we were supposed to feel with him as our leader. And frankly, this was an enormous wake-up call, because I stepped back and realized a minion is a nameless, faceless servant whose only
not special, no real value.
The only value is because they are basically told what to do and ordered around.
Yeah.
And I realized when I got this, as upset as I was, that that's exactly how he looked at me. And that's exactly how he taught or treated everybody.
Yeah.
And the fear that people had of him, the tactics that people used to avoid him, they were nothing short of crazy. And how were we supposed to succeed in an environment that was dominated by that kind of chaos, fear, dysfunction, and just treating people with such disdain? It's everything from eye-rolling to yelling to saying the most absolutely unbelievable things about the people he was leading, trying to diminish people, trying to make people worry about whether they were going to have a job by the afternoon, all of these tactics that you're subjected to. And I was targeted because I was starting to get attention from senior vice presidents and people in higher places than he was.
Yeah.
And when he witnessed that, that was when the light switch kind of went from, I'm okay with you, to I need you to go away.
Yeah. And let me make a point here. In my own life, I worked in television. And by my count, over let's call it a 30-year career in television, and I haven't retired just yet, I would say over 30 years, I had bullying experiences and bullying bosses in 28 of those 30 years. And so I want to talk about the physical toll that it took on you, but I also want to make a point here that I think is important, that we're not talking about, at least in my case, and I think in yours, it's not that somebody threw a stapler at my head and I was bleeding profusely. That's assault. There's laws against that. thank goodness nobody ever sexually harassed me. It's still going on. There's still laws. And it's great that there's a lot more public discourse about that and those issues. I think, at least in my view, and you've been at this a long time, we're talking about something that seems to be, in many, if not most organizations, perfectly acceptable behavior as long as the person doing it is seen as a productive moneymaker. And so, but I want to talk about the toll that it took, if you're allowed to do so based on your,
absolutely,
your NDA.
I'm by no means special. The physical and mental impacts that bullying can have on individuals who are targeted, the list is enormous. This has been researched, and but I'll just use my own experience as an example. And by no means do I want to encourage anyone to get to the point that I allowed myself to get to the point where one day at work I fainted. And I'm a really fit, really active, really healthy person. And I'd never fainted ever in my life. And I was at work and I fainted and I woke up beside my desk and I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And this was a couple months after the Minion event. And so it was March. And to make a long story short, my doctor, his office was across the street. So I called his office. I said, I need to see someone immediately. I got in. And effectively what had happened after a lot of physical diagnoses, I had lost adrenal gland function. And your adrenal gland function is there to produce adrenaline. And adrenaline is produced when our bodies are under immense stress and our we've got an amygdala in our brain that stimulates the fight or flight reflex. And that amygdala has been there for 10,000 years, and it was really important when we were in cave people times and a saber-toothed tiger was in our midst and we knew we had to take action to survive. Well, that survival mechanism still exists. So I was going to work every day and I was so terrified and so stressed out that I was producing adrenaline.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be a highly functional leader of 55 people running a legal department. And I'm literally running on fumes. And you can imagine what that does to your body, to your heart rate, and so on. So I didn't know it, but my adrenal glands stopped working. And that's why I was fainting, because my body was saying, you're about to produce adrenaline. So your heart rate and your pulse go down. But I kept standing up and I had no pulse and very low heart rate. So I would faint. So it was discovered that this was the physical diagnosis that was the problem. The truth is, it was the mental health compartment that I was bankrupt in.
Yeah.
Not know this. Once I was told by my doctor, you're not going back to work. You can see me now, but imagine me in that doctor's office going into that weeping where you can't breathe and you can't stop and you're literally heaving and weeping and this is what happened. And the truth is, I never went back to that work. So just imagine, I left my office to go across the street to the doctor and I never, ever came back.
Amazing.
It took me a year and a half of major psychology or psychiatry help. I was destroyed. My sense of self, my sense of purpose, it was like the floodgate opened and I was just literally barreled over and felt like when I finally got up to breathe air, I was in a different landscape, one that I didn't recognize. I didn't even know who I was for a while.
It's incredible that the bullying could be so extreme, but it's so common and it could have such a deleterious effect on your health. And yet you hardly noticed it to the extent of the cause and effect. And so I have a few questions. I have so many questions for you. The first is, in my case, I couldn't digest well. I was regurgitating food. I couldn't digest. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. I had the worst dreams. Oh my gosh. If I described the dreams I had about my boss, you have no idea.
Oh, yes, I do.
It's another conversation. And same kind of thing. Breathing was hard, high blood pressure. And it's a little embarrassing to say, even as I'm saying it now, I'm kind of hesitant to acknowledge it. And this is part, and then I'll say the other thing, is suicidal ideation or worse. And then, of course, the shame that I felt because I wasn't handling this well, that I wasn't being tough. And so let me ask this. It sounds like you've had similar psychological Absolutely. Issues.
Yes.
And I guess would shame be a part of it?
Are you kidding? Humiliation, shame, and just a loss of sense of self are very common in victims of workplace bullies. Careers are lost. Suicide rates are frighteningly high. What people go through in terms of the post acknowledgement process, I felt I had many of the same symptoms you did. I did not know what a full night's sleep was. I would wake up at 2 a.m, literally sweating. I had some pretty profoundly scary dreams that included, I'll be honest, one particular dream that kept revisiting where I was watching my boss crossing a street and getting hit by a bus and cheering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, can you just like even repeating that, I'm ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what my brain was wanting. And frankly, my body was needing. Because I kept doing what we do.
Yeah.
You go to work and you think, I'm gonna prove to him that I'm worthy. I'm gonna work harder. I'm gonna show more.
I'm getting chills right now with you saying this.
This is what we do. And
we
can somehow prove our worth. And of course, what we fail to understand is that's not what this is about. None of that will change how the bully feels. The bully wants to take us out, literally. We are in their way. And they'll do whatever they need to grind that person down. And usually they do leave, get ground down, and they just, with their tail between their legs, they run.
And you, I think, I'd like to say, had the fortitude to look at your health and say, my health is more important than this job. But that's a very difficult thing to do for all of us. I looked at it as I loved my job in television. My job's in television. I loved it. I didn't want to give that up. I needed the salary. I needed to pay bills. And maybe paramount to this, although they're all three equally important in my life, and I'm curious your perspective and those that you consult, it was also, I didn't want the bully to win. So if I quit, then in most cases, I had a couple female bosses that were bullies over the course of my career. So it's so hard, you know, and my wife, just real quick, my wife works in domestic violence. She represents, as an attorney, domestic violence victims. And look, there's a lot of laws against that kind of behavior.
It
happens way too much, but it is along the spectrum. Many of the victims of domestic violence go back to the perpetrator because they need a roof over their heads or any number of reasons they're tight. And in my case, and you just said it, I wanted the boss to love me and to thank me for my hard and great work. So I just went back and tried to work harder, not a formula for dealing with a bully boss.
Well, it's the only way we know how, because that's worked for us historically.
Yes.
And so we are those people. And remember, the people who get targeted are the incredibly hardworking, diligent, committed, loyal. So it's contrary to our nature to leave or to not want to please. We're often people pleasers as well. And so, and I fit all of those categories.
Me too.
I think the message that we need to understand is, and this is what I ultimately had to do. I want to first make it clear. I didn't have a choice. I was medically unable to work.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't recognize the person that was the person then. I stopped. I was full on suicidal. I stopped socializing. I stopped exercising. I stopped. I was really, really seriously depressed.
Yeah.
I had lost my North Star. And of course, like many of us, I had a probably unhealthy perspective on how important work was to myself, to my ego, to my sense of purpose, and lost all of that. So to your point about we need to pay our bills and so on, absolutely. And that's why people often don't leave. And my advice to people, and I wrote a book about this because I didn't have any guide. There was nothing when I went through what I went through. There was no place to help me figure out what the heck's going on first. Like, what is this behavior? Because if I had understood the motivating factors of a bully, yep, I would have done radically different things. If I had actually understood it didn't matter what I did, he was still going to, until I wasn't in his way, he was going to hate me and he was going to do everything he could to tear me down. Then I wouldn't have went out of my mind trying to work, you know, as hard as I was and to try to please him.
Yeah.
So A, I didn't understand what was going on. B, I did many of the wrong things. I, in fact, self-sabotaged. I would try and I did terrible things to try and persuade him that he liked me. But then I started to do things to sabotage him,
yeah,
which of course is a terribly ineffective way to resolve, yeah, this. Only made him mad or made the behavior escalate and, yeah, the natural things. So we don't understand the dynamics. We don't understand what motivates bullies. And therefore we do a lot of the things that aren't helpful. I did all of those.
Yeah.
And often it's not until a catastrophic health event that the train stops. Heart attacks, strokes, cancers, psychological breakdowns, suicide attempts. These are all ridiculously, sadly common for people who are targeted by bullies.
Yeah.
And so it's a physical manifestation that often takes them out of work. Sometimes they are capable of seeing the light and taking action. And it may take a while to find a new job, but I'm going to be really blunt. No job is worth losing your health over. Unless you are a soldier or a first responder or a police officer, work is not a war zone.
Yeah.
You should not leave work worried about the things that we used to worry about. And so there are things you can do. Absolutely. A lot of them are low risk. People just can't see the light. There are many steps you can take to have allies, to get support, to get counseling, things that you can do while you're looking for that job, while you're looking to leave. And I promise you that when you take back a bit of that power and take back a bit of that control, you begin to get more healthy physically and mentally.
Yeah.
And this is part of my passion, is to help educate others so that they don't make the mistakes I made, because I made tons of them.
Me too.
And they have tools that I didn't have, and that they can find their way through this without suffering in ways that others like us probably have.
Yeah.
And that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. Well, it's great work. I appreciate it. I only wish I had known you for the last 30 years. I think I would have been much happier and healthier in my career. But having said that, in the time we have remaining, I hope we can continue this discourse and change the way that work is conducted across this country, across Canada and elsewhere. Having said that, I know, understand that you have an offering for the people watching this, especially if they're going through the kinds of things you're talking about.
Would be absolutely. Well, I mean, first, this is the easiest thing. There's this book called The Workplace Bullying Handbook. I can't tell you how many people contact me after reading this and say, I get it now. So this is really easy. You can read it anytime. It will help you. I promise it will clarify for you what's going on. And that's often just the beginning of the end. Secondly, if anyone is struggling with being a target of a bully, I have a very significant LinkedIn presence. Please reach out. I will do what I can to help you. I also provide consulting to people, but also to leaders and organizations, a lot of HR people who are trying to unravel they know there's a bully going on. They know, they see it. They see the complaint. They see the people leaving. They see the sick leave, all of that. But they still are confused and need some support in terms of, well, what do we do now? And how do we manage this massive risk? And then, of course, I'm out there giving the message to organizational leaders. Do you understand what bullying is actually costing you? You're rewarding the behavior because it's on the surface getting you great results, which means money and influence and clients and so on. But are you aware of the weight of human disaster that they leave behind and how that impacts your organizational success, your reputation, your financial success, and your leadership success? So all this is part of what I am passionate about doing.
Yeah. How can people reach you for more information?
If anyone just Googles my name, they'll meet me. I have a consulting company called paulpeltierconsulting.com. Reach out for me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is also a very easy place to find me. And like I said, I'm committed to making the world as bully-free as it possibly can. And in Canada, parts of Canada, I just want to say there's hope. We have anti-bullying legislation where I live. And that is part of why I was able to get a resolution where I was financially compensated for what I went through. And within weeks of that, the bully left. Now, that bully is still working and still doing the same things because we keep hiring people from the organization that he's leading because they're leaving. So the behavior doesn't necessarily change, but we have to have hope. Right. And I believe we should and can.
And we will with people like you and having conversations like this. Thank you, Paul. Final word from me is very simple. Bully victims, if you're out there, and I know you are, you're not alone. We're here. We're going to continue this work. And thank you, Paul. And thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
It's my privilege. It's an honor. And thank you for the work you are doing because I want to get on your surfboard.
Thank you. I'll be happy to have you join me. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot.